May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Good morning and thank you for your very warm welcome to be here for your patronal festival. It was just lovely coming in. So many people said hello to me, introduced themselves and smiled at me, and I feel very welcome. Thank you. I'm fairly new to the diocese. I've only been here for just under 2 years when I took up the position at St. Francis College in mid-22. I've spent most of my life, or certainly all of my adult life, in South Australia, and the role I came from before I came up to St. Francis was parish priest at Semaphore, which was near Port Adelaide, a beautiful old part of the city right on the coast. And so it's lovely to come up to the coastal part of our diocese today. One of the privileges I have is living on site at Milton. Well, you now know, if you've been reading the Courier Mail, that means we're right next door to Forex. I'll just say that it's just been an ongoing thing. Forex is wanting to diversify, to have those sweet alcoholic drinks, and to make them, they want to put three large tanks of, they were going to be 45,000, now I think they're reduced to 40,000 litres of ethanol each. And we're just not all that happy about having 140,000 litres of ethanol sitting 10 metres from our closest buildings. And when it went to council, we put in a concern. They've had to put some safety features on it. It'll be encased in concrete. But as a diocese, we just feel that it's just not a great idea to have that much flammable liquid so close to our boundary where the library is. So that's what's happening in that space. Anyway, I had been in Adelaide for Christmas, but I was back in Brisbane for New Year's Eve, and I thought I'd try and watch the fireworks that are down on the river, because you know it's a great space to watch, even if watching from the other side of the river. I wasn't prepared to go and wait at South Bank for 2 or 3 hours so I could have a viewing spot there. So as I walked towards the river and towards the city so that I'd be more at the South Bank end, I started to hear like big thunderclaps. I thought, oh, they've started a bit early. And then the whole sky would sort of light up in looking towards the river with great flashes of light. So I started to jog because I thought I must have had the time wrong and I wanted to get to the river. But then when I did get to the river and looked across in the direction of South Bank, it wasn't long before the fireworks started. And although the flashes of colour brightened the windows of the high-rise buildings around that part of the city, they were completely dwarfed by the fantastic electrical storm that was going on above it, that was about 10 times the size and that cast far more light than the fireworks did. It was amazing. Each time it thundered and, well, perhaps it wasn't quite synchronous, but the amount of light that was being produced and the way the clouds were illuminated, the fireworks looked tawdry by comparison, and the light showed up all the smoke and, you know, debris and stuff that fireworks cause. So I was really struck by the display that nature could do, the sort of display that in our Psalm 29 we hear attributed to God was so much more powerful and so much more amazing than what humans had spent a lot of hours and a lot of money preparing. I did momentarily or from time to time think of, well, if this is so powerful here, what's it like further south where that storm would be overhead? And then as I think we probably all were, we were shocked to hear the damage that happened on the Gold Coast, particularly in the hinterland and around Tambourine Mountain, where there was a lot of devastation, and there were houses that were completely bisected by falling trees, and electricity cut off for days, and in some places weeks. So this powerful storm was both awesome for those like me watching it from the sidelines, and terrifying, no doubt, for those in its path. And similarly, Psalm 29 invites us to be amazed at the power and majesty of God, to ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, to worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, and to recognize the powerful voice of the Lord in thunder and in the power that can rip apart well-established trees such as the cedars of Lebanon or several hundred-year-old gums. This psalm reminds us of the power and majesty of the Lord and invites us to respond with songs of praise, which is indeed how we started our service this morning. And having heard in the psalm no less than seven times of this powerful voice of the Lord, in today's gospel reading from John, we hear that this same awesome and awe-inspiring God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, John did not send this, sorry, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In Jesus, God comes beside us as one of us, sent by the God who loves us so deeply. Holly Herron, in her commentary on the Working Preacher website, identifies that John, the evangelist, gives three main reasons why Jesus was sent into the world: to be the light of the world, to save the world, and to give life to the world. To the world. Each of those is to the world, not just to the faithful, but and not just to humans, but to the whole world. So this amazing, awesome, and utterly transcendent God sends God's Son into the world, and the Word made flesh comes intimately near us, laboring on the cross to give us life. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of the need to be born anew or from above to see the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus questions if one can re-enter the mother's womb to be born again, Jesus speaks of being born of water and of the Spirit. Later, when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, and the soldiers put a spear in him to check that he is dead, water and blood flow from his side. Water and blood flowing out of a body are very evocative of childbirth. Jesus labors on the cross, and through that action gives us new birth. In the conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus speaks of being born in the water and the Spirit, and at the moment of his death, he hands over his Spirit, 1930, at much the same time as the water and blood flow from his side. In the crucifixion, when Jesus is lifted up, much as the serpent was lifted up in the desert, the power for us to become children of God is accomplished. On the cross, Jesus' hour comes, and his words, "It is finished," evokes that sense of joy a mother may express when the pain of labor finishes and the child is born. That mixture of relief and joy. Furthermore, Following the resurrection, Jesus breathes on his disciples, like a midwife might breathe into the nostrils of a newborn to help them breathe. Today's gospel reminds us that we are also born of the Spirit, that God breathes life into us at creation. God played with the soil, formed the first human beings out of the dust, out of the soil, and breathed God's breath, God's life into them. And then Jesus breathes his breath into those who follow him. This Spirit blows where it wills. The Holy Spirit refuses to be contained or limited by our definitions of who God is, limited by our understanding of how God works, refuses to let us build boundaries that keep people out. The Spirit invites, includes, and as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, the Spirit searches for the deep things of God and reveals to us, quoting from Isaiah 64, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived. For we can never fully understand the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And if we could, then God wouldn't be God, because God is always more than what we can imagine or believe. As stated in the Athanasius Creed, written in the 4th century, God is incomprehensible. To quote, this is our faith. The Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory eternal, the majesty co-equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. And this one God loves us so much that God's Son was sent to save us, with the Holy Spirit revealing to us that at the heart of God there is relationship, there is love. By analogy, we don't need to fully understand our parents or our children, increasingly difficult, our partners even, to know what it means to be loved and to love. And how much more is that true with God's love? We're invited into God's love. Have we got the slide of the icon? So let us reflect in a few moments before we join in the creed, thinking about how we were invited into God's love and how we are invited to share that love, knowing that the experience of what we feel in our hearts and minds, of what we can share, is greater and more powerful than what we might be able to.